It's 8:30.
It's Rosh Chodesh Elul, first day Rosh Chodesh Elul, Lamed Av. The Strupkov Rebbe used to say whenever he came here that Av stands for Elul Ba. It's always very funny the way he said it. Tonight also is my mother, Al Hashem's 20th Yahrzeit. Chanan Perah Bashalom, the Torah we learned should be Lina Shemasa. Okay. Let's get started. So
what's
we have Hanukkah Bashalom. Yeah. Hartman was her maiden name. So the Mishnah had three cases.
So after you pass away, you don't go by your married name?
No, I wanted him to know where she came from.
Yeah.
That's all.
That's the connection to your Chaskel Hartman.
Yes.
Got it.
That's the connection. She was Chaskel Hartman's sister. The Mishnah discussed three cases. We had the first case. There are six rows, two outer rows of chait melons, two middle rows of gourds, two outer rows of Egyptian beans. 2, 2, 2, that was mutter. In the second case, no question. In the second case, there are three rows. One row of chait melons, one row of gourds, one row of Egyptian beans. That was osir. In the third case, there are four rows, one outer row of chait melons, two middle rows consisting one row of gourds, one of Egyptian beans, and another outer row of chait melons. That's what we had a machlokes. Rabbi Eliezer and the Chacham, Rabbi Eliezer says it's mutter, and the Chacham say it's osur. Now the question is, according to the English, the question is going to be, can you apply this machlokes to the middle case of the single rows, right? So, Rabbi Yana Yomar b'machlokes. Now he explains that the issue here in footnote 3, what is the underlying question as to whether there is a machlokes or not? So he says like this. There's two ways you can understand the Chachamim regarding in other words, the third case. Why did the Chacham hold as an osur? So one svar might be because they hold that the two inner rows collectively are closed in by two outer rows of chait melons. So there's like a kind of havisha going on over here. But therefore, they held that it was osur. That's actually a little difficult because being that the middle rows are a total of eight amas, it's difficult to say that that's considered havisha. So therefore, he has another svara here. They look at the inner rows individually. So what you look at is like this. You look at the row of gourds, which is let's say the gourds is row number two, right? So row number two is surrounded by melons on the left, an Egyptian bean on the right. So they view row number two as being surrounded on both sides, and that's why that row is osur. Row number three, which is Egyptian bean, is surrounded by gourds on the left and melon on the right. Remember, we said we had melons on the two outside rows. So therefore, individually, the Chachamim looked at each middle row individually and decided that this setup is osur. And that might be this far. So based on that logic, will depend, in other words, whether Rabbi Elazar, depending on why he's arguing on them, will determine whether there's a machlokas in the second case as well. And we're going to explain it. Okay? So, Rabbi Yana Yomar Machlokas. Rabbi Yana says that the same way there was a machlokas in the third case, there's a machlokas in the second case as well. Shneinim and Star from Ahatzil. In the third case of Lazar holds the middle two rows of gourds and Egyptian beans, they combine to save themselves, meaning they combine to create a break of eight amas between the outer rows of melons, and therefore their mutter, but besides that, and two different species, which is what the Chachamim were saying, that they were saying that the outer row of row number one and row number three were going to be mitzaref to close in row number two. He holds that's not true because that can't work that way since row one and three are two different species. So two species aren't going to work to close in the middle one. That would be his svar over here. The principle that two species cannot combine to prohibit a third species applies to the second case just as it does to the third case. So therefore, he's going to dispute the second case as well. So the second case where you have gourd, melon, you know, jitron bean, that's also going to be mutter according to Rav Elazar. So that's Rav Yonai's approach is that the same way there's a machlokas in the third case, there's a machlokas in the second case. Now, Rav says, Diriya Kolhi. Rav disagrees with Rav Yonai. He says, no, that the Mishnah, the second case, is everybody. Kishem Shishne Minim, it's from Lahatzil, Kachne Minim, it's from Le'asor. The same way they can save themselves. Okay, so let's see. Oh, here. Footnote 8. So let's see what it says here. According to Rav, I circled this one to make sure that we read it inside. Rav Eliezer agrees with Hachamim what? Let's see. Two species can combine to prohibit a third species. Because Lamaisa, if you look in the Mishnah, in case number two, it doesn't bring a machlokes Rav Eliezer. I mean, the simplest deal that you can make in the Mishnah is the Mishnah quotes Rav Eliezer in the third case. He doesn't quote him in the second case. Obviously, he agrees with the Chachamim that the second case is awesome. Now, the question is why, right? Nevertheless, he disagrees with the Chachamim in the third case because in the third case, for the row of Egyptian beans to become prohibited, the row of the gourds must combine with the chait melons, right? Right? Again, you've
that's
got...
That's with three rows?
In the last case of the Mishnah...
There's four rows.
There were four rows. In order for the row number two, well, let's say the way he has it here is Egyptian beans, right? So you have gourds, and you have melons on both sides of the Egyptian beans. So in order for Egyptian beans to become osir, those two rows are going to surround it. But then, for the row of gourds to become osir, Egyptian beans have to combine with the other side of the chait melons to surround the Egyptian beans. Right? Remember, we have melons on the outside rows, Egyptian beans and gourds on the inside rows. Right, so what he's saying is, what we want to focus on is the Egyptian bean row. What's happening is, first thing we do is we say, look, I'm going with the Chachamim now. Rabbi Lazar is arguing on the Chachamim like this. He's saying, look what you're saying. You're saying Egyptian bean becomes osur because it's surrounded on melon on the one side, gourds on the other side. Then you turn around and you tell me the gourds are osur because melons on one side and Egyptian bean on the other side. So Egyptian bean becomes a nasar at first, and then it becomes an oser second. So Rav Elazar fundamentally holds you can't do that. You can't become something that is surrounded and then turn around and say that it is the surrounder.
But if you have a field that has 50 rows, they'll all parcel each other out.
I'm only dealing here with four.
I'm just saying that because they each has two characteristics. It boxes in one and it parcels the other.
Yeah, Moskim. You're Moskim. You're absolutely right. I have no idea what the din would be if there would be more than four rows. I would imagine we would have
the same thing.
It would be the same problem. I imagine.
Do we happen to know what the halacha is?
As far as what goes. I'm not sure about that.
It sounds more Sephardic like Rav Elazar.
You think so?
Yes, 100%. Because they save each other. I'm saying the two middle rows save each other.
Yeah.
From Chavisha.
I would have thought. What's the Sephardic that they would Osir each other? Why? What's the Sephardic for them killing an Osir and a Nasar? Why not? It's Kilayim. It's a whole mixture that's messed up. It's a mixture.
You're treating one as a. I'll put it this way, what's the opposite of dominant?
Recessive.
What? Well, there's a dominant. Submissive. Recessive. Dominant and recessive.
Depends on genetics or personality.
I'm talking about vegetables. Talking about vegetables. The way I view it is, you're treating an Egyptian bean first as a dominant species, that it surrounds the middle one, and then you're treating it as recessive, that it's being surrounded by others. So I think that's the kind of. I'm not sure how to look at it.
The kovesh part.
Yes.
One is more, on here it's more powerful, it's kovesh to this one, and then the other one it's. Nikvash.
That's right.
The Melech and the Malka, you know.
And Rabbi Lazar has a hard time with that. That's what Rav says. So Rav is saying, Divrei Akolhi, the second case is unanimously hold. Kishem Shishnei Minim Etzdarfen LaHatzil, Kashnei Minim Etzdarfen LaAsar.
But it can't be the same.
So 1 second. So this talk that the Gemara is saying, is this the svar only for the third? See, the way 8 is explaining it, he's explaining the svara of Rabbi Lazar in the third case, but I'm just not 100% getting how this is explaining the second case, why that is going to be unanimous exactly. Just 1 second.
If it wasn't unanimous, the Mishnah should have mentioned it.
Yeah, I understand that, but I'm trying to understand how this svara that we're trying to present here. Because the second case, everybody seems to hold its osur. I guess the pshat is like this. The pshat is that if you have a case where you have four rows, so then you have a row changing its role. But if you only have three rows, you don't have any role changing. So therefore, everyone's going to hold its osur. It's only when you're changing roles that he feels that must be the reason. Okay. Now the Gemara says, Masisa pligal Rabbi Yanai, this Nina and Rabbi Eliezer Mater. Now Rabbi Yanai, who says that Rabbi Eliezer argues on the second case as well, so the difficulty is like we spoke out, the Gemara is just speaking out, that it doesn't say his name. It only says Rabbi Eliezer Shita in the third case, therefore it must be that the second case, he's going to agree with the Chacham and it's going to be Osir. That's the first thing the Gemara says. So the Masnisa argues on Rabbi Yanai. Now, the Masisa also pliga al Rav. Why? Because it says, Shur shal kishuin, Shur shal dilun, Shur shal poha mitzvi, Shur shal kishuin. So if you have one of each, right? Ad shaloi nata es ravias, like for Nesar. In other words, the Gemara is asking a Balbatisha question. You're saying that Rabbi Lazar agrees to the second case that it's Osir. So when you're planting, you plant one row, then you plant second row, then you plant the third row. It's Osir. How did you get to the fourth row? And that, you can't say that it became Osir on the third row, and then by planting the fourth row, it becomes Mutter.
Unless you have four people planting.
Unless
planted 1, 3, 4, and 2.
Basically, that's the Gemara's going to answer. But this is the Gemara's first argument, right? Gemara answers, Tiftar Shanotav Arbatan Ka'achas. That's the Gemara's answer. So you're going to have to explain that he planted all four at once. So he didn't create an Isser. He planted all four at once, so they all became Osir or Mutter at once, however you hold, right?
So the footnote says that it's not four people at the same time. He just has in mind when he puts the first row in to do the second.
Correct.
And the third and the fourth, so it's considered as if he did it.
Very good, very good. So footnote 12 says it explicitly. The Gemara, correct. The Gemara cannot mean that he planted them simultaneously. That is impossible. Rather...
Why is
it
impossible?
Try, well,
you can do it
I don't know.
If you have a machine,
it's possible. That's true. But we're talking.
Why can't you have more than one person doing it simultaneously?
Yeah, you could do that way also, yeah. But in the brackets here, he says that it's even, you don't even need to come on to that story. Good question. Rather, he planted them on the same day. As long as they haven't taken root yet, nothing's happened. Remember the Rosh Hashanah I told you a while ago? The famous Rosh Hashanah Shabbos. Should I say it again?
Yes.
Zarei on Shabbos. How are you chayven Zarei on Shabbos? You put seeds in the ground.
On Friday?
What happened? Nothing happened. Yeah. It's going to take 3 days for those seeds to take root. Let's suppose you on Sunday you go dig up the seeds. Were you no longer chayven for Zarei on Shabbos? So the Rosh Hashanah in the Mishnah over there in Kol Gadol, on by the Arboim Sarachas Malachas, he has a whole paragraph over there that talks about this Shaila. Anyway.
What's he say?
I don't like to quote it by heart. I'll tell you, after we finish, I'll take it out and I'll read it to you, okay? But, yeah. So, no, this seems over here, it seems like you're over the leisa say, you know, of planting klayim l'chayra b'shas zriya, right? The seals are coming for klayim. Like, if you throw down the seeds, you get hasra from the ate them, you get malchus, right? It's something which has ramifications immediately. I guess, you know, if you dig up the seeds before they get a chance to take root, I guess you avoid the issue. That's what I would say. I'll be svara, right?
The issue here is it's kovesh. It looks like it's, right? So that's not going to happen for months. Right now you have very clear and distinct rows that are totally separate and divided.
That's correct.
And he's still chayev.
Right.
For what they anticipated.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Notea Adam Kishos. A person can plant a chait melon, a gourd, in the same hole, provided that they lean on different directions. That's what we said in the Mishnah. So the Gemara tries to increase this number over here. It's pretty amazing. Tony, Motruhu Adam Lasis Pataksa De Ugumu Katana Amuka Tefach, you could dig a hole Tefach deep. And then Lizoy Batoko Arba Zaironi, you could plant four different species. Ulahovkon Arba Hosea, and then point it in four different directions. Why just east and west? Why not north, south, east and west, right?
So they're not putting in seedlings.
Seedlings, that's correct. Even though it says seeds, it doesn't mean that. That's right, we spoke that out. Brackets says in footnote 14 that it's not only in a hole, this would hold true even if it was on flat ground, right? Even plants that are planted in a single hole, that's the novelty. So it still is okay. Okay, one other thing here. He has a thing here about it being perpendicular. I don't really understand. Can you explain this to me? From this brisa, which permits planting four different species in the hole, we see it is not necessary for the species to be trained in diametrically opposite directions, as it might seem from the Mishnah, one to the north and one to the south. Rather, even training them perpendicular to each other suffices.
Right, because if you do it in four directions...
Yeah. Oh, because of four.
If
you had four, obviously, two of them are going to be perpendicular. Oh, okay. So what he's saying is that if you had two, then you wouldn't have to have them north-south. They could be north-east.
It could be 12 o'clock.
Okay, that's all he means. He's explaining if it would only be two, it doesn't have to be opposite. Okay. So then Rabbi Bar Kahana Shimon Arshaya B'Shem Rav Shimon Lakish, he says the following, B'noitin L'Churba Shanu, that this heter is only if around the outside of the unplant of the hole, there's area, the whole area is unplanted, it's churva, it's blank, there's nothing growing. If you're going to have stuff that's growing outside the hole, then the plants as they grow out are going to start getting intermingled with the other plants. That's what it says here. They will constitute klayim with the plants growing around the rim. The Gemara says, Rav Mona Boi, he says, Im benoitin l'churba, if they're toward an unplanted area, nisni shmoina, then you could have eight different types. Shnayim mikan, shnayim mikan, shnayim mikan, shnayim mikan. You could do the angle. He has over here this funny looking spider with a square head on it over here in footnote 18, you could put the angle them out and get 8 into this area. It's a funny question, no? Four species could be trained to the four points of the compass, four more towards the corners. If the area around the hole is not barren, then it's understandable that it limits the number of species to four. Why? Because the species planted in the hole would have to be trained toward the four corners of the hole to avoid appearing intermingled with the plants growing on the sides of the hole. That's what this diagram at the bottom here, which is in the shape of a cross a little bit. But
why doesn't it make a difference if the item that's being the seed has the leaf capacity, very leafy? Isn't that gonna change the matrix here?
How is it gonna change the matrix?
In other words, if we know it has a leaf, like some of these, like a melon or a gourd, something like that.
Right.
Which then isn't that going to have more of a issue, not today, but eventually, and then it'll be climbing because of
What's it going to recline with? The stuff outside the hole or inside the hole?
Even in the hole.
You mean even if it was blank? That's your question?
No, I'm
saying what I'm asking you is even if the outside of the hole is barren.
That's correct.
You feel that it will become leafy and eventually the whole thing will just be filled up with one blob.
But
Bumar apparently holds that
it's not going to happen.
That's not going to happen, apparently.
Is it not going to happen, or we only glide Kalayim buster at the time that it's planted, which I find hard to believe?
That's very hard to believe.
Yeah,
it's going in different directions. And we could modify what you're saying and say that since it's nicker at the time of the Natiya, it was going in different directions, so it then no longer becomes a problem, even though later on it may become a little bit more mixed up. Okay.
How far apart did they have to?
Well, it's in a hole, which is a tefach, so it's not. The whole hole is only a tefach, so.
Once again, the roots cross, and that doesn't make it climb.
That doesn't make it climb at all. Yeah, okay. Let's go on. Now we're going to go review the mission we learned yesterday. So we're going to go fairly quickly here. Haisa Sadeus Ruah B'Tzolim. If your field was filled with onions, remember each row is four Amis white, right? And Ubika Shlita Vasokha Shuras Shaldilum. You want to put gourds, so what should you do? Rabbi Shmuel Leiber, we have a three-way mock like us. Oiker Shnei Shuras, you take out two rows of onions, meaning you're clearing out 8 Amis of ground. And then Notea Shura Achas. And then you plant one row of gourds in the middle of the 8 Amis, meaning at Amma number 3 through Amma number 7, right? Through Amma number 6, right? Am I saying this right?
6. 2 empty, 4.
You have 2 and 2, four, two and 4 and then 2, okay? So it's 3, 4, 5, 6. That's the way I should say it. So 3 through 6 is planted, and then 7 and 8 are clear. So you've got Umeniya Kamas, but Solom Bimkaim Shnei Shuras. You leave the other onions in the next 8 amas. And then you do the same pattern again. Iker Shnei Shuras, you uproot the two rows of onions, Venotan Shura Achas, and you do the one row of gourds again in row 3 through 6. So now, if you go ahead and you measure from the gourd to gourd, you end up with how much? Higher math, 12 amas. Right? Because you've got 8 amas planted of onions, plus you've got the 2 on each side of a free. That's 4 plus 8 is 12. So you've got a 12 amma gap between the gourds. That's Rabbi Shmuel Shita, Lechomra. Rabbi Kiva Aymer, Akir Shnei Shuras, there's Netan Shnei Shuras. Uniyah Kamas Basolam Bimkam Shnei Shuras, Akir Shnei Shuras. Netan Shnei Shuras. Basically, he's saying that he's arguing on a couple of things. Number one, you don't need to have the blank row, right, between the gourd and the onion. You could, they could be right up next to each other. All you need is the, what we call the maharisha, whatever it's called, the faro. And second of all, you only need 8 amas between the gourds. 8 amas, right? You have two rows of gourds of onions, which make 8 amas, and that's enough of a separation. You don't need 12 amas. So that's his argument. And then you have the chachamim. And then you have, they argue, and that is, let's read it again. Chachamim. If you don't have 12 amas of space, then you can't have the onions in between. So basically what they're saying is that you don't need to have you don't have to have the spacing. So you can have what you do. You have in you look at footnote 4, you'll see the picture. You'll see you have 3 rows of onions, so that you have actually 12 amas there, no blank spaces at all, and the row of gourds and row of gourds on the outside. So you end up with, again, 12 amas, but there's no need for any spacing. So in a certain sense, it's a hybrid of the Rabbi Shmuel Shita. But these are the 3 Shitas of the Mishnah, okay? And I think we'll stop here. We'll start the Gemara tomorrow, Mirtz Hashem. I'm going to go get the Rashash to read you the Rashash inside. If you hold on 1 second, I'll go get it. Okay.